talking with Dr. Tom Royer from Oklahoma State University. We're here at the Lahoma Field Day, and Tom, you were talking about the fact that a bunch of years ago when you were first hired here at Oklahoma State University, you were hired really to deal with green bugs and aphids, and that's still kind of where you're at.
That's exactly right. I've spent basically 20 years working with aphids of one kind or another, depending on what crop it is. It got me here, and it's kept me employed.
Tell me about this aphid that kind of snuck up on a lot of our wheat producers this year, the bird oat cherry aphid.
The bird, yes. That aphid snuck up on people because we didn't have the natural enemies keeping it lower than it typically is from year to year. We had good weather conditions that allowed it to build up, and it doesn't physically, visually injure the crop like green bugs do. So they can build up, sneak up on people before they notice that there's any problem, and yet at the same time they're robbing yield. So unless you're out in the field looking to see what's going on out there, you might not have noticed them until they got to the point where they actually were changing the color of the plant, which was way late, probably later than they needed to be for being treated.
Tell me, this was really more of a problem in the fall season, right?
Yeah, they started building up in the fall through the winter. Nobody likes to get out in the winter and look at their crops all that much. And typically we don't see much of a buildup at that time. So once the plant started jointing, the aphids started building up. But I literally talked to a couple of people that have had field experience for years and years, and they said, boy, it just snuck up on me. And I said, I guess I should have been out looking in the field a little sooner. But when I drove by the field, it looked fine.
Tell me, there's some other issues out there for the wheat crop this year. What are the things that we found that you've had to kind of keep tabs on?
Well, this year, like in wheat, I've been keeping up with Dr. Hunger. He's been, some of our varieties and the stripe rust issue. Those are things that have dealt with. And then, of course, bird cherry oat aphid, I was answering questions about that earlier. And then later in the year, I started getting questions about this weird aphid that was feeding on the heads of the plant of the wheat as they were coming out, as the heads were out. And that was the English grain aphid, which we very seldom see here either. But again, the cool spring, which is probably doing a great job of allowing our wheat to fill and it's going to be a good crop, is also the reason that some of those unusual aphids showed up this year. Right. Canola didn't have very many insect problems in canola, except kind of a little bit later in the year we saw some turnip aphids showing up late. But the messages that I got from canola growers this year was that it was one of the slowest, quietest insect years we've seen in years.
Right. And we always like that.
Love it. Love it. And again, the weather is just perfect for the canola. I think a canola crop, I know it's smaller this year in acres, but it sure looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, we've talked before a little bit about the sugarcane aphid for the grain sorghum folks. This is a big concern, and one that we will be probably dealing with at some point before the growing season is over.
Yes, it's an aphid that showed up 2013. Last year, it hit almost every acre, probably any acre that you found in Oklahoma of sorghum. It was there, and it was causing some serious issues with farmers trying to control it. Some of them had to spray two and even three times to get it under control. And we're going to be dealing with it from year to year. And I guess the biggest issue is that we have to get an understanding of what varieties will have resistance. One of the issues last year was that one of the varieties that's very popularly planted was also one of the most susceptible to this aphid, and they just loved it. So that was an issue. So I think I know a lot of people, if they are growing sorghum this year, they've switched over to some that they know have been hearing or a little more tolerant or resistant to the aphids. So that'll help them manage. And as our research continues to build, we'll be able to help them manage it better. Right. But yeah, it's here to stay.
And we do have a little bit of Section 18 help this year on the
yes, thankfully. We just got notification about 3 days ago that we got a Section 18 for an aphid material called Transform that will be available for use in sorghum this year. I was trying to get it. It was taken off the market in canola, and I was trying to get a Section 18 for it, but it didn't even fly. They didn't even consider it. So I don't know what we're going to be able to do with canola down the line, but that's of concern to me too.
Over your career here at OSU, as far as, you know, we've kind of had some different bugs or different insects kind of rotate through the region, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. I always like to say, I remember Heath Sanders saying a long time ago, just in canola, you learn something new every year. But I can say from an insect standpoint, I've learned something new every year that I've worked here. I've had opportunities to work with a lot of different insects, some of them even beneficial. I've gotten to work with the biological control of salt cedar in western Oklahoma with a beetle that was brought in over here to help control it. So I've had opportunities like that ever since I've been here. But it's just always a challenge every year. We see different insects from year to year and just have to be ready for them.
Right. One last question as far as you kind of alluded to the fact that one of the things that producers need to be maybe adopting within their management strategy is IPM, Integrated
yes.
Pest Management. Why is that important?
Well, it's important because it allows them to make a decision based upon the economics. If they understand the economics of their crop very well, this just allows them to make an economic decision because we do have – excuse me. We do have information on, you know, a lot of information on what insects, how much damage they can cause, and how much yield loss they can cause to a crop. And if they just get out and are keeping up even on a semi-regular basis on when an insect might be occurring, they can make a decision at that time that will pay off maximally for them to decide to treat or not treat.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir.